podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Take your Bible this morning and turn with me to John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10. And we will be reading from verses 1 through 20 of John chapter 10. If you have a pew Bible, that's on page 759. John chapter 10, starting with verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why should we listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So it should be obvious to you about now that the Bible calls us sheep, right? The Bible calls us sheep. So if we are sheep, everybody, you know what sheep sound like, right? Can we all just do our best impersonation of a sheep on the count of three? If we all do it at the same time, okay, it won't be embarrassing, okay? We all do it. So let's be a flock of sheep this morning on the count of three. One, two, three. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Not all sheep sound like that, by the way, but apparently the ones you have been around do. Or that's what you've been taught, anyway. Do we have any shepherds here, by the way? Any shepherds? Yeah, anybody have any sheep? Maybe you don't like to call yourself a shepherd, okay. I see someone in the back row. I see someone here. All right, when you call your sheep, what noise do you make? You whistle. What does that sound like? Can you do it for us? Okay. They hear that, huh? It's not very loud. Yeah. He can do it louder than that, I think. How about you? Do you have a call for your sheep? Not willing to share? All right, well, shepherds call their sheep, and the sheep come running. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Most of us, though, take that sheep thing as an insult. I don't know about you. But if someone says, "You Christians are just a bunch of sheep," we take issue with that. Right? That doesn't sound like a good thing. Maybe because we want to be known as independent thinkers, right? We are smart and wise. We're not a part of a flock. We're not a part of groupthink. We've come to all everything we know independently and on our own. That's the American way. Or maybe we don't like to be called sheep because sheep have a reputation for being helpless and stupid and a little bit smelly maybe. I know when you think of Jesus and the sheep, you probably think of the picture of Jesus with his blonde hair and blue eyes holding a white cotton ball fluffy lamb, right? Just been bathed, beautiful sheep that he has rescued, right? And he's holding the sheep and he's got a smile on the face and even the sheep is smiling, right? You've seen that picture before. And maybe that's what you have in your mind and you envision yourself as that sheep. I don't think that that's what necessarily Jesus had in mind here when he was talking about the sheep, because see, they lived in an agricultural society and these people knew what sheep were. They had worked with sheep. They had smelled sheep. They had been with the sheep. Sheep are helpless and stupid. Ginny Neal, who raises sheep, cattle, and chickens in Virginia, tells a story about the night that she was pulling up in her farmhouse, up the driveway, when she sees a flock of sheep standing in the way, about 20 feet in front of her. So she flashes the lights on her Buick in order to get their attention. And one of the sheep looks at her and comes up with a great idea. Starts running right for the car. Run to the light! And this sheep happened to be apparently a leader among sheep because all of the other sheep followed. So here were these sheep running full speed toward the front end of this Buick. Bonk! 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 One after another, they are plowing into the front end of this car and bouncing off. Ginny honks her horn, try to get them to stop, but that only confuses them and they speed up. And so she's sitting in the car and the car is rocking as every one of these ewes throws herself at it one by one by one. And finally, when they are done and they're all sprawled out on the edges of the driveway, she edges past them and she makes her way back to the house. And the sheep stagger, they get back on their feet and they follow her. Well, she comes to the house, she finds her husband sitting in his Lazy Boy, where he usually is, and she says, "Honey, you're not going to believe what just happened." And he listens to the story, and he just laughs, and he says, "Sheep are always looking for an excuse to die." Boy, if we're called sheep, that's not a very good recommendation, is it? Always looking for an excuse to die. So yeah, there is a reason to feel insulted when we are called sheep. But think about this for just a moment. God created you and me to be followers. It's in our DNA. We are all followers. We all look for someone or something to follow. That's what we do. We are like domesticated sheep, right? Domesticated sheep follow. Human beings follow. We were created by God to follow Him. That's what he had in mind. He wanted to create a people that would love him and worship him and glorify him and follow him and be his reflection in this world, created in his image. But we wandered away from God and we followed the voice of another. The Bible says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord says, through the prophet Jeremiah, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam on the mountains. They wandered over mountain and hill and forgot their own resting place." So many of life's most difficult situations are the result of following the wrong shepherd. Becoming enamored with someone or something other than the Lord, and following and being led astray and wandering and roaming the mountains and the hill far from the resting place. Sheep need a shepherd. Do you know what a sheep without a shepherd is called? Supper. Supper. Because without a shepherd, sheep will not find food or water. Their wool will grow to unmanageable lengths. And when all that wool gets wet, it becomes a real problem. Sheep become lost and exposed to the elements without a shepherd. And the predators are on the prowl looking for sheep like that. Sheep need constant care and protection, right? There's a lot of maintenance that goes on with sheep. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, "I am high maintenance." Just say that to somebody right now. Just admit it. One of the reasons that you are called a sheep is because you are high maintenance, right? That you need a lot of care. So Jesus gives us a beautiful picture here in the Gospel of John. He offers himself as the good shepherd. So let's take a look at what life is like when you have a good shepherd. Right, what is life like under a good shepherd? First of all, Jesus tells us that the sheep hear. The sheep hear. The sheep have a good sense of hearing. They choose to ignore some sounds, but they can hear very well, and they listen. Jesus says the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd calls the sheep by name. And that's the difference between a good shepherd and an evil shepherd, or even just a negligent shepherd that Jesus talks about. The good shepherd knows each one of the sheep by name. And each sheep hears the voice of the shepherd and as he calls out its name. What a powerful thing to hear the voice of God. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is going out all day long, whether you hear it or not, through the beauty of His creation. Whenever you step out and you are in awe of creation, God is speaking through all of the circumstances of your life, good, bad, indifferent, everything that happens in our world, God is speaking through His still small voice in your conscience. That voice that speaks to you late at night when you try to lay your head down on the pillow, God is speaking. And even through the lyrics of a song or through the words of a preacher or even through, more directly, through His Word, God is speaking all day long. And sometimes it's as if He speaks your name. Have you had that experience before? Where God speaks your name. Can you hear Him today? Can you hear the shepherd? Not only do the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, the sheep know. They know the voice of the shepherd. They recognize the shepherd's voice. In this figure of speech that Jesus uses, they recognize the voice, they recognize their name, they know who their shepherd is, they know the other sheep in their flock, and they respond and they start to move toward the shepherd. Look at verse 4. Jesus says, "When the shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." So it says, when he has brought out his own. Picture this large stall, right, with sheep from many different flocks, and they are all bedded down for the night. And when morning comes, the shepherd comes to get his sheep. And so he makes his distinct call, his distinct voice, his distinct whistle. He calls them by name. They hear him, they know, and because of that, they follow him. Jesus says they're not going to follow the voice of a stranger. They're only going to follow the voice of the good shepherd because it is a voice that they trust. The sheep hear, and the sheep know, and the sheep trust. In verse 5, Jesus says they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Right? The voice of the good shepherd is a voice that when they hear, they trust. They know it's going to lead them somewhere, to food or to shelter. They have experience with this voice, and so they follow him. The shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. In this picture, they follow his voice because they trust him. So a thief or a robber is one who climbs into the fold, Jesus says. They will climb into the fold in order to destroy with evil intent. They do not walk in the gate. The sheep don't know or trust the thief, so they're not going to follow the thief. They don't trust the robber, but they do trust the good shepherd. Margaret Feinberg has written a book called Scouting the Divine, My Search for God in Wine, Wool, and Wild Honey. Long title, I know. But she spent some time with a vintner, a winemaker. She spent some time with a shepherdess, and she spent some time with a farmer who was collecting honey in order to learn about some of the imagery that's used in Scripture. Well, having spent some time with a shepherdess in preparation for her book, she tells this great story. She says that that back in the times when Israel was fighting its enemies, and that seems to be always, Israeli soldiers went to Bethlehem in order to collect tax from the people there. The people were dirt poor, and they didn't have anything to give to the Israeli soldiers. So the soldiers collected all of the sheep and the goats from that village, corralled them all together, thousands of them, into one huge pen where they were going to serve as payment for the tax. Well, around this time, a woman walked up to one of the Israeli soldiers and said, "Look, my husband is a prisoner, and those sheep, just 12 of them, are the only thing that we have, my son and I, to live on. If we don't have those sheep, we will die." So the Israeli soldier says, "Well, what do you want us to do about it? Well, can we go in and get our sheep?" The soldiers laughed. "There are thousands of sheep in this pen, and you just want to go in and find your sheep? Impossible." In fact, they said, "Go ahead, try. If you can do it, if you can get your sheep, good for you. You can have them." Well, she walked up to the sheep pen. She got her son, her 10-year-old little boy. They walked in, and her 10-year-old little boy took a flute out of his pocket and began to play some songs. They walked through the sheep pen. By the time they got through the pen, they walked out the other end, and there were 12 sheep following this young man, playing the tunes on his flute. They followed him all the way home. The shepherds, or the soldiers at that point, were so entertained by this that they clapped their hands and they said, "That's the last time we fall for that trick." The sheep knew the sound of those songs because they had heard them over and over and over again in the presence of that young shepherd. So at this point in his figure of speech, the Pharisees don't get it. Right? They don't see themselves as thieves or robbers, but it's obvious that Jesus is talking about them. They are the ones who were throwing people out of the synagogue for believing in Jesus in the last passage we saw. They were the ones who took a man who was born blind and was healed by Jesus and threw him out of the synagogue because he believed in Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd who has come to call his sheep by name. And the Pharisees have proven that they are false shepherds who are out for their own gain and not for the interests of the people. And so the prophet Ezekiel warned against shepherds such as these. He said, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." The Pharisees were living off of the temple goers, but they weren't teaching the truth. And they missed the Messiah, and they expelled his followers from the synagogue, and they looked for a way to kill Jesus when he came. So the Pharisees are the thieves and the robbers in this figure of speech used by Jesus. And since the Pharisees don't understand, Jesus continues, though he mixes the metaphors a little bit. If you're an English teacher, that will bother you. But in the first part of this picture, he is the good shepherd. In the second part of the picture, he is the gate. Starting with verse 7, Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep. Anyone who's come before me is a thief and a robber, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And they will come in and go out and find pasture." With Jesus as the gate, number 4, the sheep are safe. The sheep are safe. They are protected from thieves who come to steal and to destroy. Jesus as the gate is the protection for the flock. from any who will come to do harm. In him they are saved from harm. They are enclosed in the fold. But not only that, the gate opens in both directions. Jesus says that the sheep can come and go. They come into the protection of the fold, but they can also go out to the pasture. And in verse 9, Jesus says that they are able to come and go, that the shepherd might lead them to the pasture through this gate. The sheep are safe, but number 5, the sheep are also free. They are free. You see, in some instances, the shepherd is the gate, right? In Bible times, we're told that a shepherd would gather his sheep into a temporary pen and then would lie down in the front opening of that pen in order to serve as a human gate for the protection of those sheep. A predator would come and it would have to face the shepherd in order to get anywhere near the sheep. So the sheep were safe in the fold as long as the shepherd acted as the gate. But when the time was right, in the morning came and the predators were gone, the shepherd would allow the sheep to come out and he would lead them to find pasture. What a beautiful picture of what it means to live life with Jesus as your Savior. He provides both salvation and freedom. He provides safety and rescue from the enemy, but he also provides freedom. Those who choose to remain in their sin will never know true freedom. They will live in fear. They are imprisoned in their sin. But those who trust in Jesus are protected from sin for all eternity. And they are free to live the abundant life. Life is great with a good shepherd. Why do the sheep go to the pasture? Because that is the place where they eat. Number 6, the sheep are fed. The responsibility of a good shepherd is to find food for his sheep to eat and clean water for them to drink, especially in a desert climate, where there is more wilderness than pasture. The good shepherd makes sure that the sheep have everything that they need to survive and to thrive and to grow and to be useful. Mark Yarborough recently gave a message at the Dallas Seminary Chapel Service. I listen to the podcast every week. He spoke this past week. He was reflecting on his life growing up on a ranch in Texas. And he recalls this dark night when he had some of his other ranchers with him, and they spent the evening out in the pasture to keep an eye on the animals. And each of the ranchers had a rifle across his lap. They were prepared. They sat at a bonfire, keeping their eyes on the animals, some of them sheep that were around them. And Mark remembers the sheep that night. They stayed within the ring of light that was provided by that bonfire. They stayed within that ring of light. They didn't dare go beyond it. And he said some of the sheep just rested. They slept peacefully there in the pasture. So, but others of the sheep got up and began to graze and to eat and to fill their bellies. But Mark and the other shepherds were aware of the presence of predators, because in the darkness, just outside the light of that fire, there were eyes peering in and watching. Coyotes. But as long as the ranchers were there paying attention, they did not dare make a move. They just watched. And oblivious to the danger, the sheep slept and they ate under the watchful eye of their ranchers. You can't help but think about the most famous shepherd scripture when you hear that memory from Mark Yarborough. And David, a shepherd himself, writes, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So we graze and we sleep and we're at peace because of the hand of the shepherd in our midst. We don't have to worry about the predators in the darkness as we gather around the light. A good shepherd makes sure that his sheep are safe and sound and have full bellies, everything they could possibly need. Jesus says that he has come to give life to the sheep. In fact, look at verse 10. Verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Message version says, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Again, our English teachers are upset because the sentence ends with a preposition and you're not supposed to do that. But it sounds so much better than more and better life of which they ever dreamed. Just to me, it sounds better. But think about this. Jesus came to provide life, eternal life, yes. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He forgives your sin and He gives you eternity in heaven. But even now, a better life than you could ever dream of. The word that in the Greek is parason. It means excessive life, overflowing life, abundant life, full, rich, satisfying life that you will find nowhere else. It's like living with a full heart at all times. So in order to do that, Jesus says in verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Unlike a hired hand who has no stake in the sheep and who will run at the first sign of danger, the good shepherd cares about the sheep. The good shepherd knows the sheep. And just as the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father, Jesus says he knows his people and his sheep. And he lays down his life for them. Number 7, the sheep are loved. The sheep are loved. What kind of shepherd is Jesus? He is a sacrificial shepherd. He is one who's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He is one who is willing to risk his life and face wolves and risk his own hide. He is one who will leave the 99, another gospel writer tells us, in order to bring home the one lost sheep. He loves the sheep. And this is how Jesus feels about you. He came from heaven for you. He faced the enemy for you. He laid down his life for you. He went to the cross for you. He knows you and he calls you by your name. He loves you. He is your good shepherd. And in another mixture of metaphors, he is also the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. Spotless, perfect, sacrificial lamb. My, oh my, oh my. You are loved. Doesn't feel so bad to be called a sheep now, does it? When you know who the shepherd is. Jesus says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I need to bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He's speaking to the Jews about the reality that he will one day gather together his flock from all of the nations. Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, all people. He will call together a flock from all nations, and he says they will be one. Number 8, the sheep are one. So what makes them a flock even though they're so different? It's that they all have the same shepherd. It's that they all follow one voice. They are one flock with one shepherd. And that is what we have in common now throughout all eternity. We come from different backgrounds, from different eras of time, from different families and nationalities, from different traditions, different styles. But in the end, if we follow Jesus, we are one flock because we have one shepherd. And as we saw, number 9, the sheep have life. That's what Jesus promises. Life. Because Jesus is our good shepherd, we have eternal life and abundant life. Because he gave his life for us, we have life from him. C.S. Lewis wrote that the Son of God became a man so he could enable men to be the sons of God. Right? The Son of God became a man so he could enable men to become sons of God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What a blessing to live life with a good shepherd. Let's review it. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. The sheep trust the shepherd and they follow him. And the sheep are led in where they are safe and they are let out to be free, where they can be fed and cared for and loved. and the sheep are one flock for all eternity, the sheep have life. Life that you can only dream of. We are all created as followers. You are a follower. So, on the count of three, give me your sheep again. One, two, three. All right, good. Some of you have been counting sheep. So, give me it one more time. One, two, three. Very good, very good. We are all followers. But who we follow will determine our future. Who you follow determines your future. Listen up. The sheep in Jesus' flock are truly blessed because they have a good shepherd. But so many choose another shepherd. So many choose to follow something else or somebody else. Sure, we like to think that we're independent, we're blazing our own trail. But the truth is, we are all following somebody. If you don't believe me, watch fashion trends, right? Watch trends in fashion. All the kids are going to be coming back to school soon, so they have to go and buy their clothing for school. And they're all going to say, I can't wear that. I have to wear that. Why is that? Because we're sheep and we follow the trends. Right? The same is true of technology, right? They come out with the latest cell phone. I got to have that cell phone. My old cell phone's not good enough. This flip phone ain't cutting it anymore. I need to have all of the latest gadgets and gizmos. I need to be able to take photographs and send them and put them on the internet all immediately. I need to be able to talk to my phone and it talks back and tells me the meaning of life. And so we are sheep and followers. We are consumers, not because we need these things necessarily, but because we want them in order to fit in. We are sheep to upward mobility. Why do you need a bigger house? Why do you need a fancy car? Well, because it makes me feel good about myself. It helps me to fit in with a different flock. And so we follow. Bah, right? We follow. Right? And so now we have the internet where you can go, and it's not just keeping up with the Joneses, now it's keeping up with the world, right? So if you're going to have a wedding and you're going to host a wedding in your family, what you do is you go online and you look at things like Pinterest, right? And you start downloading all of these ideas, right? You would have never thought of any of those ideas in the past, but now those ideas are there for the taking, right? And suddenly, I got to outdo all of those weddings. My wedding is going to be Pinterest worthy. What are we doing? We're sheep. We're following. We're doing what we're supposed to do. I hope you recognize in your own heart the tendency to follow. Unfortunately, there are so many bad examples to follow. So many of the rich and the famous celebrities of our time have train wrecks for life. Some of them are taking their own lives in increasing tragic numbers. They certainly aren't worth following. Yet so many do. You know, our culture would have you follow after so many different dreams of fame and wealth and happiness. But none of those shepherds offer life. None of those shepherds offer the abundant life. In our day, more and more young people are making tragic decisions in search of some type of fulfillment. They just want to be happy. They just want to be satisfied. So they fall into sexual immorality and drug experimentation and all types of sin in the name of finding themselves and being fulfilled. Unfortunately, every single one of those shepherds are thieves and robbers. And you will not find true life there. It's not there to be found. It will only make things worse. Jesus is the only good shepherd, and he is the one you were created to follow. Do not follow any other. Follow Jesus. Will you read the 23rd Psalm with me? We're going to put it up on the screen. It's in the New Living Translation. Sometimes I find that if you read from an unfamiliar translation, it pops out a little more for you. You know, you're so used to reading it in your translation. Let's read it in a different translation. And I want you to read it like sheep. Not that you're going to say, bah, but I want you to read it from your heart. All right, read it from your heart. Follow along with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to have a good shepherd named Jesus. Father, we need to confess to you this morning that there are other shepherds that call our name, and we're prone to wander. Sometimes we're prone to listen to their voice and to shut out your voice. Lord, some of us have made a mess of our lives by doing that. Father, we can always come back to you. You always call us by name and invite us into the fold. So I pray, Lord, this morning that you would be our good shepherd and we would be your sheep. Lord, that we would learn to hear your voice and only your voice, that we would focus in and zero in on the sound of your beautiful voice, and we would follow you all of the days of our life so we could find salvation and freedom and abundant life and spend eternity with you. Thank you for Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We put our faith in him because he laid down his life for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.